Beats. Back here on Downtown Home Stretch of a Thursday afternoon, and time for us to talk a little football as we're joined on the telephone line by our friend Christopher Price of the Boston Globe. Chris, good afternoon.
You can never go wrong with a little yacht rock on a Thursday afternoon.
No, any time of day. You got that right. Well, we were chatting in the break there, and boy, it's true, and perhaps no more so than this time of year. There is no off season in Patriots football.
No, they're really well. There's like 3 weeks. Usually, at the start of July, and that's when I get to take Twitter off of my phone, and I get to escape into the woods of Cape Cod, and I can kind of turn off the football part of my brain. But the other 49 weeks, it is a never-ending stream of eventful incidents. It's never dull.
Well, let's talk about what's happening, the transition, and of course, he's no stranger to the team, but what are your thoughts so far on Gerard Mayo as head coach of the Patriots?
I think the introduction of the head coach could not have gone any better from a franchise point of view. You had a lot of players there. They were all behind the move. There was a lot of positive energy in the room. I would have liked to have heard from Jonathan Kraft, and I'm still a little curious as to what they're going to do with the offensive coordinator position specifically, as well as the GM. But I think it's a good start for a franchise that needed kind of a jolt of youthful energy.
Is it obviously it's not the common way to do things that you'd hire a coach before you get a general manager in place?
Yeah, and that has me a little bit concerned. There's a great study that I tweeted out a while ago by my friend Dan Hatman of the Scouting Academy, who did this historical piece about teams that hire the coach and then the GM. The pairing usually doesn't last for a very long time. Now, that's assuming that the Patriots will eventually hire a GM. We don't know if it's going to, you know, be Matt Groh and Elliot Wolf and kind of a combination of people. I will say this, that the longer they go without naming a de facto GM, a player personnel chief, you know, whatever you want to call it, the greater the possibility exists that there will be a power vacuum. At least this is what history has told us. In the worst possible scenario, you get something like a Jack Easterby situation in Houston a few years ago, where someone just kind of moves gradually into the job, and all of a sudden you have him making personnel decisions. I would like to see them hire a singular voice within, you know, either within the organization or someone from outside the organization that will be able to work with Gerard Mayo, because we still don't know who will ultimately be making the call when it comes to free agents and draft picks. So there's still a few pieces in place that we haven't seen yet. But like I said before, I think it's a good start. I think it's a positive start. It's just going to be interesting to see the way it all shakes out.
He's a young guy, obviously no head coaching experience, and I think sometimes people don't quite understand the role of head coach of an NFL team. The X's and O's are not that important. That's why you've got coordinators and position coaches, but a lot of it is just the managerial things, whether it's managing the roster or dealing with, you know, the 500 things that all of a sudden crop up out of nowhere. What's the biggest challenge to a first-time head coach?
I think you put it very, very well. This is something that Devin McCourty referenced. It's kind of a CEO, you know, in that job. You know, you're responsible for a lot of stuff, and you have to delegate. You have to trust in the guys around you to be able to execute. And I think that's probably the biggest part of the job, to have that level of trust. That's something that Bill, by his own admission, kind of struggled with in the early stages of his career in Cleveland. Find guys and kind of let go a little bit of all the micromanaging and kind of understand that you put these guys in place, let them do their job. And so I think first and foremost, that's the biggest challenge. Then there are other things that you just, it's like a rookie in the National Football League. And again, this is something that Bill said, they don't know what they don't know yet. You know, as a first-time head coach, there's stuff that you just don't know until you're faced with it in in-game situations. That's one of the reasons why I think they need to hire some sort of mentor, older coach, a guy who's been around the block a little bit, to either serve as kind of an associate head coach / I don't know, offensive coordinator or whatever the case may be. He needs a veteran guy on staff who he can kind of lean on and say, how do you navigate this kind of situation? You know, I might want to ask you these sorts of logistical questions because I've never faced it before as a head coach. But I think ultimately, Rich, to answer your question, I think being able to delegate and being able to lean on the people that you put around you and develop a level of trust with them, that's the biggest thing for a rookie head coach to have to come to terms.
Are you hearing any names as possible offensive coordinators?
Nothing at this point. I will say this, that he's kind of gone off the radar screen a little bit. You know, there's some traditional names out there. There's some very traditional names out there, you know, starting with Josh McDaniels. If he wants to come back, I'm going to be curious to see if he does want to come back. He's one of those names. But there's lots of kind of under-the-radar types. I know that there's been a lot of interest in some guys from the McVay tree, including Zach Robinson, although I have to believe now that Raheem Morris is in Atlanta. Zach Robinson may ultimately follow him to Atlanta. So nothing big, nothing, you know, for sure. I can tell you on the defensive side of the ball, it looks more and more like DeMarcus Covington, who is a defensive line coach in New England the last few years. He is going to end up being the defensive coordinator. I imagine that at least one of the Belichick sons is going to be retained because Mayo and the two sons are very, very close. I think it's going to be Stephen Belichick. I don't think you're going to see a whole lot of drastic change on the defensive side of the ball. I think the changes you're going to see on the coaching staff are going to be more offense.
And, of course, all eyes on the draft, too, as this team tries to rebuild and get back to being competitive once again. We assume a quarterback is high on the list of priorities, but could they surprise people and go take a Marvin Harrison Jr.?
They could surprise people and go take a Marvin Harrison, Rich. I think the surest indication that we're going to get as to their ultimate direction come the draft is going to be really revealed in the first week or so of free agency. There are not a lot of big names out there, but there's some interesting guys. Obviously, I think Kirk Cousins is probably the biggest name. I'm not saying that they're going to go out and get Kirk Cousins, but if you go get Kirk Cousins or Gardner Minshew or Jacoby Brissett, maybe as a placeholder, you know, for a bigger name, then that might lead you to believe that they are going to be more interested in Marvin Harrison Jr. or one of the elite tackles who's expected to go in the top 10. But if they go out, let's say in free agency, and they load up on tackles, they load up on wide receivers, you know, they sign T. Higgins and make a run at Mike Evans, then I think you could assume that they are going to go quarterback at number 3. There's a lot of really intriguing options out there. It's expected to be a very quarterback-rich draft, which is a good thing for a team like the Patriots.
And yet it's been a little bit hit and miss with big-time college quarterbacks in recent years, and I think maybe a higher success rate if you grab that top receiver that's available.
Yes, yeah, and that's a perfectly legitimate, you know, argument to make. You can, there's a lot of different roads you can go down here. I think that first and foremost, I remain a Caleb Williams apologist. I think Caleb Williams can succeed wherever he goes. He's the de facto number one pick. Now, if the Patriots want to trade up, that's going to take some draft capital. It's going to take probably a couple of picks, and they're going to flip the 1 and the 3. So you can think about that. You can also think about maybe taking a Jaden Daniels at 3 if he's available. Or the other thought is you take Marvin Harrison Jr. at 3, and then maybe you take Michael Penix Jr. at the top of the second round, mm-hmm. and figure out a way to get him or Bo Nix. There's all sorts of different permutations here. The guys who I think are going to go in some order, 1, 2, 3, I think Caleb Williams is going to go 1, maybe Drake May 2, maybe Jaden Daniels 3. But I think you might have an opportunity to get Nix and, you know, or Penix there late in the first round, early in the second round, which you might say, okay, well, let's wait for one of those two guys and take Marvin Harrison Jr. So, again, a lot of things for them to consider with the 3rd overall pick.
We're talking with Christopher Price of the Boston Globe here on Downtown. Well, the league kind of prides itself on a lot of teams feeling like they have a shot to make the playoffs, and if you're out, you're not out for long. Realistically, how long a rebuild will this process be? Can they get back to being a contender in a couple of seasons?
I think they can play meaningful games next December.
Wow,
that's to say they'll be in the conversation. I'm not saying that they'll be on the short list of Super Bowl contenders, but if they navigate this offseason successfully, let's say that, you know, they hit on Jaden Daniels and they're able to go out and sign, you know, T. Higgins or Mike Evans or, you know, someone like that, and they can solve the tackle position, I think this team is, you know, could be back in the conversation, in the playoff conversation, not the Super Bowl conversation, but the playoff conversation at the end of this year. The defense is really good. And the defense, I mean, this team, I think we even talked about it at some point this past season. This was a team in 2023 that was playing with one hand tied behind its back. You know, the defense was kept them competitive, kept them in games. You know, and so I think that there are very few questions about their abilities on the defensive side of the ball. If they can fix, they can answer some key questions this offseason with a, you know, they don't necessarily have to knock it out of the park everywhere, but if they can get this thing turned around again, I think there's a chance that they could play meaningful games in December.
You mentioned the Falcons hiring Raheem Morris. What does that mean for Bill Belichick? Is he done?
Yeah, that's a great question, and I'm glad that you bring that up because it gives me a cheap excuse to plug my story that's going up in moments on BostonGlobe.com. This could be the first season where Bill Belichick is not a head coach or an assistant coach in the National Football League since 1974.
Wow.
He started in 1975 with the Baltimore Colts as a special assistant and has been employed in some form or fashion as a head coach or an assistant coach every single year since then. There's a very real chance now that he's not going to be in the league in 2024, and maybe he, you know, finds his next gig is you know, hasn't come open yet. So, the Falcons thing appeared to be a bit of a layup for him, but it's my understanding that there were some questions about the personnel department and the role of Rich McKay and who he would report to. As we all know here, he had final say over personnel, and maybe that was not necessarily guaranteed in Atlanta, and that didn't sit well with him. So, I'm going to be fascinated to see where he ends up. I don't think he's done coaching. There's a possibility, you know, he's professed a great love for NFL films in the past and maybe take a year off, works for NFL films, you know, and finds a landing spot come 2024. But it's going to be really, really interesting if there's no Bill Belichick in the NFL.
I'll say, well, we'll look for that story going up soon. Let me ask you before we let you go, how do you size up the conference championship game Sunday?
You know, the heart says Baltimore and Detroit, but the head says San Francisco and Kansas City. I have this relenting respect for the Kansas City Chiefs that every time that they have their back against the wall, they find a way to make it work, particularly Patrick Mahomes. And there's a real, and I tweeted this earlier in the year, and people kind of came back at me with a sense of, Mahomes or Brady didn't have anyone as good as Travis Kelce, in 2006. There's a real 2006 Tom Brady energy coming off of Patrick Mahomes, where he is literally kind of putting this offense on his back and willing them down the field in key moments. And so if he keeps doing it, I find it really hard to bet against him. And I love Detroit. And I want Detroit to win this thing so badly because it would be such a fantastic story to, you know, Dan Campbell and this team, and they came together in this city, and just everything kind of, melds perfectly for them. But San Francisco is just too tough. They have options up and down the roster. They're so tough on the defensive side of the ball. They're battle tested. So again, my heart says Baltimore, which is a great team, and Baltimore could still find a way, obviously playing at home. But my heart says Baltimore and Detroit. But my head says Kansas City and San Francisco.
I'm with you on both counts. Christopher Price of the Boston Globe. Always great talking with you, Chris. We appreciate it. We'll look for that story going up later tonight.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir. And in tomorrow's newspaper as well.
Excellent. Thanks a lot, Chris. We'll talk with you again soon.
Take care, Rich. We'll talk soon.
Christopher Price of the Boston Globe with us here on Downtown.